Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're with me here today. Thanks so much for joining in. Thanks for your shares and downloads. And you are in for a massive treat today. That's all I can tell you is I've got Ed Fratz with me today, and he is, you're going to love this, the godfather of sales. And he truly is. I had the pleasure of meeting Ed when I was doing regular blabs and just absolutely just adored him from the word go. And so when I started doing the podcast, I knew immediately he was on the top of my list to get in here because you are going to get so much information, so many golden nuggets from his years of experience. You get a pen and a piece of paper right now because get ready for this. Let me tell you a little bit about Ed. He lives down in South Florida. And he's been a certified corporate sales and leadership trainer for the last 10 years. Seven of them, he's owned his own company. I love this title, and we're going to talk about it. He's the owner of Just Fratz Sales Training, the godfather of sales training, which is what he's called. And you're going to understand why here soon enough. Delivers keynote messages at conferences, conventions, and special events, teaching sales professionals how to profit from investing their time into learning their craft of sales and leadership. The most effective leaders in society are those rare individuals who can inspire their audience with a passion that can only come from personal experience. His audiences are inspired and shown how they can shift their perspectives on life, work, and themselves. Change has never been this painless, and I am really excited about that. As a professional, Ed brings over 30 years of sales, leadership, and sales consulting experience to his programs and his clients. Participants that have an opportunity to get fratzed will take responsibility to create their futures, have a sense of what team efforts can accomplish, leave inspired, optimistic, and recharged, begin to think and become accountable. The Godfather changes lives, transforms sales reps into sales professionals, and brings sales teams back from the brink. Ed, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for a wonderful intro. I really appreciate it. And you reached out to me to be a guest. I was like, I can't wait for the day to come. So I really appreciate it.
Well, we hit it off right from the start. And part of that is because you get the whole voice thing, and we're going to get into that. But you know what, real quick, I want to hear about, you're doing a podcast.
Yes. I've right before the holiday, I think it was in November. I kicked off my podcast, Just Fratz. And then I do two a week. I do one on Monday, which is more of a learning type podcast. It's about 30 to 45 minutes. And I pick a topic from anywhere from negotiation skills to prospecting, networking, social media. So each week I do pick a topic. I'll bring humor to it. And then I bring a little bit of the Godfather into it. Mentality. And it's an opportunity for someone who might not be able to have me as a trainer, but each week they could get a good 30 minutes of training and instruction. It's not the same of having me live, but at least they could, if their company doesn't subscribe to trainers out, you know, outside their company, they're able to bring me into their car each week. Then on Friday, I do like a 10 or 15 minute show. And my co-host, the name of the show is Just Fratz, Just Saying, and he just peppers me with different questions. So it's stump the chump time to see if they could. So that show is always a lot of fun. It's Friday, and the concept is you hear me Friday morning, but my final words is make sure, just because the weekend's almost here, to drive hard through that finish line on Friday right through 5 o'clock. So don't pull up. So that's what the podcast is. It's a lot of fun. I found it really cool that it's on iTunes, and I get all the statistics each week, and then I don't check them that often. The other day I checked them, and it was absolutely amazing. There's people all over the world listening. Yeah. I have someone in Australia and Brazil and United Kingdom. It's been fascinating, the emails I get and the people from outside the United States. So the podcast, the world has really been new to me, and I'm having a blast doing it.
Yeah, me too. I had been saying for years I was going to do a podcast. The Voice Expert without a podcast just was so wrong. And I am in love with all those statistics.
Yeah.
You see such a turn on the investment. It's an investment in time, really, more than anything. But man, I'm addicted. It's so great. And yours sounds, I love that Friday. I've not listened to Friday. I do a similar thing where I teach one day, I do a pick a principle and I teach it. And then the other episode in the week is I find an individual in some field, different field, and we talk about voice and communication. So that's cool. I want everybody to check out Ed's podcast and get a little godfather in your life. You'll love it. So I want to hear, first of all, what kind of companies do you work with? Who hires Ed Fratz?
Most of the time, it's any company that usually doesn't have a training department. So they realize that their people need training. They'll have trainers in the company that handle all the HR training. They'll have trainers in the company that handle product training, but then they fall a little short of how about sales technique training. So a lot of times I'm brought into companies that way, that they don't have a certified sales trainer on staff. So they'll subcontract me out and bring me in to talk about sales techniques, to prospecting, to networking skills, to leadership training. I cover, I think I'm certified in about 48 different classes.
Wow. And now, is this just in Florida or do you travel all around?
No, I just happen to live in Florida with very few clients in Florida. Most of my clients are outside. I have recently gained two new clients in my same county, which is so cool to go to work like a normal person does, get in a car and drive to an office. Normally I advertise I'm USA. I'll go any place where someone is looking to improve their staff in sales or leadership. I just got on the plane and that's, I have an account up in Idaho.
Wow.
Up through New Jersey, through Texas. So I'll cover wherever they need me.
Yeah. And what is a day in the life of getting Fratz look like? How many days are you on site? And what does that look like when you show up?
The typical class I'm hired for is usually a 4-day sales training class it's broken to two segments. The first one is all the first part of the week is all about prospecting. I spent two hard days on prospecting and showing techniques on how to set appointments and how to network and how to use social media and how to research potential clients. The second half of the week is developed, is normally set aside for sales techniques. And something that you love, Tracy, is the actual sales presentation. When they go back with the contract or with the proposal, and that's when they really have to show off their voice skills and their presentation skills. And that would be on my very last day while I'm in town. I start my training class around 8:30, and they're with me a good 8.5-9 hours a day for four and a half days I'm in town. So I get very attached to the people I train.
Yeah.
Because when you're there that long, they look at me almost as a sales psychologist. After a day or two, they realize, hey, Ed's like one of us.
Yeah.
And that's where I take a lot of pride. I take a lot of pride in that I'm not upper management demanding they listen to me. I am trying to show up, and if they could just lower their guard and trust me that the time that they invest, I will improve their wallet. And once they see that, that I am there to give guidance to make them stronger and not tell them everything they're doing wrong, but show them what they could add and they can make the changes and decide what they're doing wrong. I think it's wrong for a sales trainer to say, you're doing this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. And I've only met them for a few days where I just bring the toolbox to the table, show them how to use it, and then let them pick up what tools they would like to, you know, use and incorporate. And you'd be amazed after a couple of days, they sit down with me and they start confessing their sins, start telling me about their problems, start telling me about the things that they are doing wrong. They're the ones that end up realizing it instead of me, you know, because if I go in there to start telling them what they're doing wrong, I probably sound like another manager.
Yeah.
All right. So my job as a trainer, I believe, is to, I want them to lower their guard and realize it is like, I always say, it's like grandma's backyard. It's a safe zone.
Yeah.
You can't do anything wrong at grandma's house, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I do my best in a training room that this is a safe zone. You know, things you say is between us. And then I really do my best to build up a level of trust quickly. So the rest of the week is very beneficial to them. And a lot of people go, where'd you get this Godfather name? It wasn't something I came up with. It was just something that I run a strict class because I demand excellence out of myself. So I expect them to do the same. You know, I don't demand it from them. I expect them to want to be there and want to learn and want to make themselves better. And I start the class off every Monday morning. The first thing I do is I go around the room and ask them if they're going to have a movie made about you, what movie star do you want playing your role? And that's the first question I ask at 8:30 every day, every Monday morning. And that we go around the room and some of them are saying, you stole my actor. And they start it. And it's 15 minutes of fun and thinking. And that's why I'm trying to get them to think right out of the gate. Yeah. And I also can learn a little bit about their personalities, depending on what actor they pick. You know, if it's a comedian, I could pretty much pick out who's going to be the class clown for the week based on some of the answers that are given. By the time they get, they always ask me, you know, who would you pick for yourself? And I say, I'll give you to the end of the week. And I'll let you tell me who, and it's amazing. Every class will say two people. They'll say James Gandolfini from The Sopranos. See it in me. I don't say I look like him. I don't want your listeners to think this. They say it's in my eyes and my forehead. I look, I give a lot of Robert De Niro looks.
Yeah.
And they go, you're very Godfather-like. They go, Ed, you could shut us up just by a look. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
And that's how the Godfather of sales training came around. It wasn't like I just say, I'm the Godfather. It didn't happen that way. But that's like a typical, you know, start of the week and what the week is going to progress. Now, companies will hire me to come in and do a day training class, of course, or a 2-day. And that gives me even more pressure on me. If I'm only hired for one day, I have, like, in my opinion, I have less than an hour to break down their force field because there's going to be a handful of people who love being in a training class, but there's this other group that's pissed off they're not in the field working. They're stuck in a training class. And I have about 30 minutes to break them down in a positive way that for them to build my trust quickly and that they see the benefit of being there. And so when I don't have them all week long, I only have them for a day or two, that puts a lot of pressure on me because I take the pressure on myself to make sure that they have a great experience.
Yeah.
And the part of the great experience is not being bored and making sure that it was beneficial to their career.
Yeah.
And that's the pressure I put on myself to make sure it happens.
Well, you're so invested. You know, that's one of the things that just in the short time I've known you, I could tell that immediately when you would jump on my blabs. You didn't know me from the next guy, and you just jumped right in and gave me tips and techniques, and would just listen to a struggle I might be talking about. And I used to do a sales blab with Julio Rodriguez, who was on the show last week. And, you know, you're so invested in what you do, and it's very obvious how much you care. You want these people to succeed.
I've taken a lot of pride in that, because I've been doing sales, you know, involved in over 30 years, and I've had to go to sales trainings myself. Mm-hmm. And I've sat in that room with 20, 30 people. And by 9:30 in the morning, you're giving yourself a concussion from your head hitting the table. And it starts with a trainer who's reading, a monotone voice, going back to your, all right. And it's so frustrating when a participant is going through that. And I always said in my early years, if I ever have the opportunity to be in the front of the room, I have to make sure that my people never experience what I'm listening to right now. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure they're engaged. And it's, I don't know where the rule was written. It's okay to have fun in training class. Mm-hmm. It's okay to laugh. And yeah. I think, sometimes I'm not sure if it's a corporate structure. I'm not going to, bash companies right now, but it's okay to enjoy your day at work while you're learning. And if you think about some of your favorite school teachers, you learn, but you also had a good time in class. They made it fun. And I just find it amazing when I go to a training and I'm sitting in the back of the room and I was like, an 8-hour class actually feels like 16 hours.
Yeah. And that's that connection thing, I think, and that's where the voice plays such a big part in it. When people are reading something to you off a page, you just cannot connect to that. Do you agree with that? Do you think
you're totally disconnected. You're almost multitasking now in your head. All right. Yeah. So you're starting to pick, you still got maybe 20% listening skills towards the reader, mm-hmm. but you're thinking about what time you got to pick your child up from daycare. What are you going to say to your customer tomorrow morning? That's what I'm saying by you're mentally multitasking now.
Yeah.
Even though you're sitting in front of the room with a book open there, but you're so disconnected from that kind of training that's taking place. And that's why I understand that people truly don't like going to training class, because they've had so much boring experiences of wasting their time.
Is there a lot of that, Ed? Is there
yes.
a lot? Of, yeah.
And a lot has to do with, I believe, I think it has a lot to do with a lot of trainers are not certified trainers.
Mm.
And I really believe that people are put into a training position first of all, a lot of people are put into a training position because they failed in sales.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. Companies will hire people in the sales division, either, my area of expertise obviously is B2B, but I do retail training also. And they fail in sales, but they're a really nice person and a good employee. They say, all right, let's make them a trainer.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you weren't successful in sales, you don't understand the life on how to teach success in training. So what they do is they read out of a book.
Wow.
And for my certification and my trainings that I've had and certifications I've gone through, I was certified by the number one training company in the country. And a lot of people are going to be shocked when they hear the name of it, because you think of them as something else. The number one wireless carrier in the country is Verizon Wireless. Mm-hmm. The number one training company in the country is Verizon Wireless.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So to become a corporate B2B trainer for Verizon, when I was hired, it's a 6-month certification process before you're even allowed to talk to a salesperson.
Wow.
That I had to go through. And if you fail a certification, you're out of a job. So I took this job, and I might have had no job in 6 months if I failed the certification. But one thing they put you through is called a gifted training, and it teaches you. The gift is an acronym. The G is the guide role, I is instructor, F is facilitator, and T is team coach. And you have to master all aspects of the gifted training. You know, the guide is that's the part of the class that makes sure everything is on time, the setup. Books are ordered. That's the guiding of the mm-hmm. class, you know, the timing of it. The instructor role is the part that I would say so many trainers excel in, meaning those are the ones all they do is lecture and read to you all day. That's the instructor yeah. role. And you want to minimize the instructor role, know when to use it, you know, when for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to talk to you and you better listen to every word I have to say.
Yeah.
Instead of saying for the next 8 hours, I'm going to tell you what to listen to.
Right.
The facilitator role is the most important role of the class, of putting your training hat on. That's what makes the class engaged, getting questions answered, getting the students to actually ask each other questions and using, you got to think about you. Most of my people in my participants have sales experience. We'll have in rooms, I'll have close to 200 or 300 years of total sales experience. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of knowledge I want them to share that is more than knowledge than I have. So the facilitator's job is to extract that out and even at times create conflict. I want people on the opposite sides of opinions. And that's what makes the classes engaging.
Yeah.
And the facilitator's role there, this is where the voice comes into play. I can't be monotone during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask questions, proper pausing, how to just using my eyebrows, you know, let them like, you sure you're positive on that answer to that question?
Yeah.
And then just using the right voice to create conflict and, you know, emphasizing certain words and pauses to create that facilitation is so important for a trainer to have a successful classroom. And then the T is that what's called the team coach. And that's the part where you're able to coach someone in a very effective way without bringing them down and being, you know, you suck type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Showing them, you know, coaching, you always talk about where, you know, I've always been trained on coaching. Tell the person one thing they did really well and one thing that you recommend that they work on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You'd be surprised on a lot of coaching that they're used to is from their manager. And their manager will tell them the 9 things they did wrong. And they, if they did tell them something good, they ain't going to remember it because they just remember they just got lambasted about the 9 things they did wrong.
Yeah.
So the T in gifted is very important as far as team coach. And I believe in going back to your question that you asked me, I believe trainers out there are just saying, okay, you're a trainer and here's the manual and go read your class.
Wow.
And that's what there's so many aspects of commanding that room of understanding how to create conversation, how to bring the instructor role when it's needed, how to keep everything timed out. Remember, these people want to leave by 5:15 every single day.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell them because the trainer was behind on his work that we have to stay to 6:30.
Right.
Yeah. So there's the trust factor lost.
Yeah.
You know, that they lost in, you know, and that's the first thing they ask, you know, what time are we leaving today? And I'll say, well, if we're really on top of our game, we'll leave at 4:50.
Yeah.
And they go, a good facilitator will get all the material in, get all the questions answered, and bring it right into 4:50. I can tell how many people are in, how the day is going.
Yeah.
And when you hit that time, like you told them, they love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it sounds, I mean, I totally get it on the F about the voice, but it sounds to me like the I is pretty power voice too. If they're, you got to engage in that instructional 10 minutes or.
Oh, our way the instruction is like, I dive into the I in and out all day long.
Yeah.
You know, for me to bring the material in, the I to me is what's problem is it's overused.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the problem. And trainers who haven't been through a certification process, they won't understand that. They think that they're sending out a lot of information. At the end of the day, they said, well, I gave a lot of info. I hope it helped.
Yeah.
And I never go with the word hope. You know,
right.
You know, So the eye is very important, and it's how you use it. And yeah. one thing that the eye becomes very powerful if you're able to instruct with personal stories.
Yeah.
You know, when I, all right. And now the eye is not me lecturing out of the book. I know what the topic is. I look at it and say, all right, I have a story about prospecting with, you know, back in the day, or I saw a rep do this that's new and unique. So if you tell a story that covers the instructional part, and also storytelling, a lot has to do with your voice. And so if you're able to tie an awesome story into the instructor role, they don't even know they're learning. Yes. They don't even know, you know, and it's amazing. If you do this right, people will come up to you at the end of the day and say, man, I can't believe it's already 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that's you know? Great.
And to me, that's the greatest compliment of a trainer could have.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I love that you brought up stories, and I love that you brought up that overuse of that eye. And I think that, you know, so many thoughts went through my mind. One, the way I, in my language, is 90-second checkout. You know, every 90 seconds, that brain is telling us to check out. It's not the words that are engaging us. It's how you are affecting us with those words. Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the reasons stories are so powerful, because we can relate to them and we tend to personally bring them to, they're a little bit easier to bring to life than some hardcore material sometimes, I think, you know, but I love that. And just that whole ideology of, we don't know what you know. We don't know what you know. So you've right. got to use your voice to help us navigate that. Because the words, if we don't understand it, if we don't know it, the words aren't going to affect us, you know, and that's all voice, right?
Absolutely. And the one thing is, the throughout the, as the week goes on, obviously I'm on stage, so to speak, up in front of that room. And the one thing that I do, no matter how many times, I'll give you an example. I've taught probably my goal setting class to over 10,000 people. Wow. And it doesn't matter how many times I've taught it. The night before, I'm still doing a dry run. I'm still practicing in the hotel room certain things, how I'm going to say it. Because I might change my, you know, as life goes on for me, my stories change too. I add new stories to my life that's happened, because I get new stories from sales reps of success stories and things like that, or I've heard from a different trainer. So I practice that, and I'll practice. It's funny. I'll be in a hotel room and I'll line up the pillows on the bed, and that's my audience. And I'm standing, I face the bed, I time it, and I record it. And then I'll do a playback, and I won't maybe record the whole 8 hours of my class. I'll do segments, and I'll actually listen to that sounded bad. I didn't do the, you know, I was talking too fast. I didn't pause here. So I actually constantly, you know, cause I don't have a manager anymore, like I did in the corporate world, to critique me. So I have to not only make sure that I do a great job training, but I have to also do a great job managing myself to, you know, that I don't get complacent by saying, I taught this class 1,000 times, so I could just go bang it out. And then even the next morning, I always, most trainers get to class. If it's an 8:30 class, most trainers show up about 8:15. I beat everyone in. I'm there an hour before class, and then I'm doing a mental walkthrough on how the class is going to play out for the day. And so, because I got to sort of get myself into that zone. And by the end of the week, I'm teaching the sales reps the same tools that I just spoke to you about.
Yeah.
That they got to take the material they learned, but when they're talking to a customer on the phone trying to prospect, their voice is probably equally or more important than the actual words that you're saying sometimes.
Yeah.
Because their talk track to set the appointment, it's always going to be the same talk track. You know, this is Ed, I'm from ABC Plumbing, I do this, this, and this. Well, what happens is on the 20th phone call, you might sound like a robot.
Yeah.
All right. So the voice plays an important role right from the very beginning. And this is why I talked to at the end of the week about presentation. Mm-hmm. It's about how, you know, right from the beginning, your voice is very important, including your body language. You say, well, I sit in a cube. I said, right. But if you're hunched over talking in a monotone voice, I said, they could see it and they could hear it.
Yes.
Okay. They have a vision of you sitting in a cube.
Yeah.
And I said, but if you're standing up, walking, sitting up, you know, in awesome posture, changing your voice, you know, with proper voice inflections on when you're talking about a benefit, you know, you want that benefit to stand out. Mm-hmm. Right? So these are things that will raise your game of landing those appointments, because then the person will say on the other end of the phone, I got to see this person.
Yeah.
That's what you want. I can't wait to see them. I got to get them in there. And I, you know, start right from the beginning with them regarding not necessarily what they're always saying. That's part of the training too, but it's how they're saying it and breaking it down. And we'll record them. And then I'll say, well, I just eliminated 20 words of what you just said. There are useless words. You didn't use, you know, pauses. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like to pause.
No.
I don't know why that is. They think, well, the person, you know, might think I forgot what to say. No, a pause creates so many different things. It can create something important's about to come out, or you're treating the customer with respect to think about what you just said.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So there's different uses of the pause and showing them. And also, I'm not a, you know, I don't have a college degree. You know, I've been to college and I've been to plenty of them.
But, yeah.
And I got a good amount of college credits back in the day. So I'm not one to pick on someone's vocabulary, you know, the words that they use. Mm-hmm. But I'm very picky on how they use their words.
Yeah.
You know, do they use too many of them?
Yeah.
You know, that's let you know, this way, if you use less words, the words you end up using could be more powerful. Now, I'm not changing their vocab.
Right.
You know, so it's, I'm not trying to raise their vocabulary, say from a ninth grade level to a master's degree in college. You know, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to make sure that their words that they use come across in a powerful way. And every word that you use, I make sure that it has a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I really have them work on that. And I try to make them, like, I'm not a big fan of the word free. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to give this to you for free today. This is free if you let me come in and see you. I'll give this, you know, this is free, that's free. And I think free, just, I don't know. I don't like it. It makes you sound cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And all I teach them is like, we're going to change the word free to Tracy at no cost to you today.
Mm. Yeah.
The Godfather's going to come on your show.
Yeah.
All right. Versus I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, I'm saying the same exact thing.
Right. Right.
But it just, all I did was clean it up. And I'm not changing, like, once again, I'm not trying to raise your level of vocabulary.
Right.
And so, and that starts from the prospecting part to you get in front of the customer, and then your questions. And your questions, it's absolutely, I don't know. I find it appalling the level of lack of preparedness sales reps have.
Really?
Because they understand their product so well.
Mm.
They don't look at the power of good questions. Mm-hmm. When they're sitting down with a potential client.
Mm-hmm.
And their questions needs to be practiced. And when I go and see a new client, I know, based on my research, I know I'm going to have 4 or 5 good questions mm-hmm. to ask. Mm-hmm. I might end up having more than that.
Yeah.
Or based on how the appointment went, of the 4 or 5, but I have these written down. I have them prepared, and I know exactly what every word in that sentence has a purpose for. Yeah. I don't use filler words, things along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're prepared, and you're confident when you're asking questions, it's amazing how your voice comes along, comes out in such a way that this person's an expert sitting across from me.
Yeah.
All right. It brings that level of as much trust I have to build of my clients that are sitting and listening to me. That sales rep has got to build trust real quick out of a potential client.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is showing that your voice projects confidence.
Yeah.
And the only way it projects confidence, if you were prepared.
Right.
And it's
right. And I love that. And that's confidence versus arrogance. And I think arrogance almost comes out of lack of preparation.
Absolutely. And that's where I think reps who've been doing the job for a long time and they know their product inside now, mm-hmm. the arrogance seeps in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that undertone. Yeah. And the client hears it. The client, I say this to my people all the time. The client isn't sitting there necessarily putting a word to it. They're not necessarily going, well, clearly he knows his product so well, he can be arrogant, but they're feeling a barrier. And you touched on this before. We want them to say, write down my Visa card number, keep it in your file, sell me everything you've got for the rest of your life. I love you. I believe in you. And so a lot of what you're talking about right now is absolute pure communication, effective communication versus ineffective communication. And I can see where you have to teach that. I really can. It's not necessarily a vocabulary issue. It's effective versus ineffective.
Exactly. And that's what I spent a lot of time with them throughout the week. You know,
yeah.
I might be talking about one particular topic, but all week long, I pepper that in.
Yeah.
Someone will ask a question and I'll say, you might want to put a different spin on that question.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, I said, isn't that a little bit more powerful?
Yeah.
And they, you know, they go, yeah, I never thought of that way. So, I only make suggestions.
Right. Sure.
And that's all I do is make suggestions. But they also, I've had, and I'll tell people, I said, this is just a suggestion. And then they'll come back to, well, yeah, when the Godfather makes a suggestion, it's really right. not a suggestion.
So, I love that. So, yeah, me too. I've got a suggestion.
Yes. And then this leads right on through when they go back for the second appointment for their presentation of the proposal.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. If they've been doing it for a long time, here it goes again, that their arrogance is, I know it, I've done it, and I make sure that on the last day that I'm in town on the 1 week training class, that's the last thing we do is actually get in front of the room and they do a proposal presentation.
Yeah.
And it's about 6 slides. And I'm not, I do have a standalone class for a 2-day sales presentation class. And I really strip them down good with everything from hand motions, eye contact, you know, but on this abbreviated version at the end of the week, we will talk about how to present in such a way that shows a level of confidence that based on what your needs were that I discovered last week, that the things that you're looking to get fixed, I have 3 products that's going to address it.
Yeah.
And they go through these products and keep tying back and using pauses. And you know, and raising their voice, their tone in such a way that look at the benefit I just addressed that you told me you haven't been able to address for 2 years.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that the wow moments of the proposal is done by your voice.
Yeah.
You know, that's what brings it on home. And if you go up there and just click through the slides and do that monotone voice, because I'm the great one. I'm the best that have ever sold this product. And then you scratch your head why you didn't get the deal. And most likely it wasn't because you didn't have the right product, because you didn't know how to present it.
Right.
Because you're so overconfident and you weren't prepared. And no matter how many times you present, practice it. That client is not a customer right now. And they deserve the same respect that your other clients did who became customers.
It's so true. I just am so in love with everything you're saying. And that's where I, you know, that's where I truly came up with the one of my catchphrases, the voice is the missing link. And I started studying. I would have clients come to me that were selling a product and they would have a competitor selling in the exact same product, same equivalent, everything. Why is that one selling off the charts and I'm not? And I could literally link it to what that other person was doing with their voice. They were pausing. They were using a melody. Trust is built in the melody of the voice. End of story. And my client wouldn't be, you know, and so we'd have to roll that in. And I love that what you were talking a little earlier about confidence. People come to me all the time with that. I need a more confident voice. And we can do that. But there's so many moving parts to that. And practice is a big part of it. I love that you practice. I practice.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you know.
You know, I'm expecting them to practice. Well, I better be ready and prepared when I'm in front of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I'm going to preach it, I will practice that.
That's right. And there are tweaks along the way. You know, where is the impact I want to make? I might want to make a different impact with you than the guy I'm working with at 4 o'clock today. And you think some of that's knowing the audience? You've got to take the time to know the intricacies of the audience to know how to use your voice with them.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes I have to, when you have a one-on-one setting, you're able to make those changes differently, say from your 10 o'clock appointment to your 4 o'clock appointment. Mm-hmm. When I have 20 people in the room, sometimes I'm able to diagnose people that I have to sort of almost talk to that person, one person differently than I do the other 19. Mm. And it might have to do with just how I turn my body towards them and make eye contact and say a particular statement that I know it's going to hit home with them differently versus the other 19 people. So you're absolutely right. You got to diagnose it. And because my goal is to have 100% take rate that everyone leaves my class, found it to be valuable, and it's going to benefit them, you know, after they left the class. Now, do I have 100% take rate? I'll be living in a dream world.
Sure.
All right. That, you know, but my goal is every day that I'm not going to have a lost child in there. That I am going to, you know, that, you know, I'm not going to say, well, if 70% of them take it, Ed, we're going to be happy. That's what, you know, management will tell me.
Wow.
I was like, well, what about the other 30%?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they've just had bad trainers all their lives. That monotone trainer who reads to them.
Yep.
And, you know, they, so I don't ever go in there saying I scored an A+ if I get 70% take rate here. And to be able to target that 100%, you need to know, you know, how to diagnose it and present to them possibly differently.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I do the same thing in live speaking or live classes myself. I walk in and the goal is nobody's going to even think about checking their phone because I'm going to be that engaging, that dynamic. I'm going to know, I'm going to feed each one of them exactly what they need, where they're at in this moment. So I love that. Now, talk to me about, is presentation and voice on their radar when you meet them? Or are they just so thinking about product and other things that you have to really make them aware of this?
Oh, it's never on their radar.
Yeah.
It's never. It's the only time it's on their radar is when they signed up for the 2-day presentation class.
Sure.
Now they know what they're coming for, you know, and that class, you're dealing with all kinds of situations from people who might have stage fright to people who never prepare to people who are nervous, you name it. Mm-hmm. All right. That one's a totally different. So they know what they're, you know, what door they're walking into. Of my sales training classes, it's not on the radar. They didn't have a clue that that was going to be a topic throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And I basically throw it in at no cost to the,
bonus.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I'm going to charge for that, but it needs to be addressed. And I would be doing, to me, a sales trainer who does not address that in a in any kind of sales training class, that I think they're doing an injustice to the sales rep. Because that might, that sales rep might not have a problem with many of the skills. Mm-hmm. And they're scratching their head why they're not, their closing ratio isn't higher.
Yeah.
And it might be because of that, that monotone voice when they do their presentation.
Yeah.
That they never realized the two correlated with, because if you have that monotone voice, you don't bring any urgency. If you don't bring any urgency, that person's never going to, that person will pick up the pen and sign the contract whenever they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some might buy right away. So that's the deals they do get. And then others might call you back in 60 days and you're scratching your head like, why did it take 60 days? And then they have this other batch that never gets back to them.
Yeah.
Because you never brought any urgency to the table from your voice.
Yep.
Alone. And so that might be the only missing piece. So if I don't bring that as a some level of importance to the table, I've done them an injustice.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and it can be something so simple as you're not stressing enough words.
Yeah.
You're not stressing any words. How am I supposed
to stress?
They're
not stressing, especially the benefit part.
Yeah.
You know, the benefits of doing business with you, the benefits of the product you're bringing to the table to address what they need fixed. If you don't stress that, you've really lowered the odds of you closing the deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is, you know, trainers and managers out there, the way they talk, every deal should be closed.
Mm.
You know, and I never go with that approach.
Yeah.
Because I lived it. I've sold on the streets. I've been successful on the streets. I've managed salespeople. I've managed managers. And I know reality. Mm-hmm. So when, if I, you know, I guess there's some kind of national average that's been out there for years. It's amazing how it never changes. But the national average of closing ratio of a good sales rep is 33%.
Oh, wow.
Of their deals. And so if that's the average across the table, I'm not trying to get them to 90% or 100%. It would be awesome that my training gets them to, say, 42%.
Yeah.
All right. And then next month they come back for a 1-day negotiations class. So maybe I can add another 3-4% of their closing ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe through continuous education over an 18-month period, they went from a 33% closing ratio, say, to a 55% closing ratio.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's a huge kick in revenues for the company and for the individual. And I never had that mentality that you should have closed every single deal.
Yeah, that's just not reality.
No. The only thing I could stress is that you have maximum preparation for every deal that you present.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, it's customers' hands after that.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of factors that play in. I know. Same with actors. You know, what with them, it's what they, you know, what look they're looking for. Are they building a family? With other people, we just might not connect or... You know, I mean, there's lots of factors that play in, but I think what we're talking about here is, are you bringing 100% to the table in your sales presentation and knowledge of your product and practicing and all of that? And I've worked with people in the past where they showed up week after week and they didn't have to tell me they didn't practice. It was obvious.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I mean, they're dragging their tail and I'm like, what's the matter? Well, you know, what, you didn't practice? I know.
Yeah, it's funny when I do the 2-day presentation class, the first day I have them give about 5 speeches.
Oh, wow.
All right. And they start off with a 15-second speech and it's real simple. I have them get in front of the room. They, you know, it's, I make this up at each class, but usually it's, tell me your name, what you do for a living, where did you grow up, and tell me, you know, your favorite hobby. And you got like 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start, then we go to a 1-minute presentation and a 2-minute presentation on day one. We do about 5 of them. Then overnight, I give them an assignment. And the assignment is probably 4 hours long. The written part is about 1 hour to 1.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm. The rest
the other
practice.
Part is practicing their presentation slides that they just built.
Yeah.
right? And I'll get them in the next day, and then I film them.
Oh, cool.
I videotape it, and I send the video off, you know, well, it's not videotape anymore, but it's...
Right. It's all digital now.
Yeah. But I film them, and then I email that to them and to their manager, and then I expect their manager to sit down with them 30 days later and do another presentation. The manager should have seen a major improvement from 30 cool. days earlier. So
very cool.
But part of it goes back to what you said, like, about I could tell whether they practiced in the hotel room the night before. And it's so funny. After I was like, well, do you think you prepared for this? I worked 2 hours on it. I said, I know. Didn't I tell you it's going to take 4 hours? They go, well, where's the other 2 hours? I said, it took you about 2 hours to write it.
Yeah.
I said, so you know your slides were perfect. I give you that. Mm-hmm. The other 2 hours is going through and practicing the slides. So funny. I worked 2 hours on it. It was like,
yeah.
Oh, all right. Did about 50% of the work. And the other 50%, because the homework is an assignment that to make sure that I take them out of their comfort zone. They're presenting a product that they've never sold before. So I make sure that they don't present a product that they know.
Oh, cool.
So that causes them. And then you could see the ones that were nervous. They were up at night practicing. Mm-hmm. And they put in, they go, Ed, man, I was up to 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I know right away what kind of presentation they're going to give me.
Yeah.
Because they put in 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Sure enough, it goes back. You could tell right away who practiced.
Yeah. And that's, that just solidifies my other catchphrase, the words are everything and they're nothing. It's what you do with them. Because you just can't. I think the slides are great, and I think the product is important. All of that's crucial. It's the everything. But if you can't bring it to life for me, what do you got?
The good ones are able to take slides and tell a beautiful story with it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. They actually make that story, that those slides become real.
Nice.
By using certain words.
Yeah.
Because of our product line, our product that I'm going to present to you on this particular one thing, it's going to increase your revenue by $2,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Now, Tracy, can you envision another $24,000? What would you do with another $24,000? And I just pause right there. And all I did was use the word envision.
Yeah.
But my slide said 20, and you know what my slide said? 24,000.
That's right.
Not 1,000 words. All I did, and I take the 24,000 and make it into a story, and I use one keyword, envision. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then I pause and make you think about, and right now Tracy's thinking about two things. Tracy's either thinking about a vacation.
Yeah.
Or you just saved a person's job that was thinking about laying off.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what the pause does.
Yes.
I'm showing respect to Tracy now.
Yeah.
And so the good ones who practice are able to take the slides and make it a story that comes to life, that mm-hmm. the person is about to live. That's what you're selling.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed if you do this right. Very, very little negotiations take place on the product price because they can't wait to get it.
I believe it.
You minimize price reductions with this preparation, using your voice properly on telling the story and mm-hmm. bringing your proposal into their world that they can't wait to get.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And I tell you, we could sit here for the rest of eternity and just talk about this. And I just love the work that you do. It validates everything that I do. I mean, it just works so beautifully together. And I think, throughout this whole conversation, I was obviously thinking about companies, but I was thinking about individuals, entrepreneurs. Heck, I'm in sales. I'm a voice expert. But if I don't have any clients, So this is good stuff for everybody, right?
Absolutely. The one of the clients I said I landed locally here in Florida, in my own county, is a person who owns a gym. And I meet with him once a week. He's the owner.
Wow.
And many of the things that we've just talked about, that's what I discuss with him. Mm-hmm. On bringing, you know, he's profitable, but he's stagnant. And if you're stagnant too long, you end up going to the next phase of being irrelevant. So he's worrying about being stagnant and losing customers. So he's worried about growth. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And much of the material has been that we discussed today is what I bring to the table to him on how he presents himself to current clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that they don't, you know, because in the world of the, you know, that he's in, that the competition is fierce within, you know, a couple miles in every direction where he is. So he has to work hard. And I tell him, I said, that growth is very important, but you want to make sure you stabilize the people who pay your bills every month too. So how are you going to engage them? How are you going to talk to them? How are you going to give them that level of how important they are to you?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you're a B2B rep, a retail sales rep, a manager, or a business owner. Mm-hmm. All this information can be used.
Yeah. And all of this rolls right into video, which everybody needs to start doing at some point, especially individuals and entrepreneurs, maybe everybody, but it all carries over as well. Well, you are just such a gift. I am just so honored to know you and so grateful to Blab for having had the opportunity to get to know you, or I never would have met you.
No, it worked out good.
And
thank you so much. I really, you know, I it's always an honor to be asked to be a guest, and thank you so much for bringing me on.
Now tell everybody where they can find you, because they may want to call. I hope they'll call you up and bring you in, because it'll be one of the greatest gifts they'll ever, you know, sign up for. So tell us where we find you.
Well, I've kept things as simple as possible. You could email me at ed@fratzed, and it's FRATZED, fratzed. That simple email address. You can find me on Twitter at Fratzed. The podcast is just Fratzed. I am on iTunes. And if you have an Android device, the app for Android is Stitcher. Mm-hmm. So I am on Stitcher. And then I'm a big user of Facebook. So you can go to Facebook, just Fratzed, and follow me there. And then all my podcast links are always there that I launch every week. So I'm pretty simple. My phone number is all over the place. I'm one of those people. I take phone calls.
Wow, cool.
So I don't keep my phone number a secret. Now, obviously, if you get my voicemail, there's a very good chance during the day I'm in class. And I do not return calls during class time. I do return them after 5:30. But I do take phone calls. So if people want to call me, they can do that too.
Well, I just encourage everybody to get to know you and bring you in and to get themselves fratzed, because you truly are a master at what you do. You truly are the Godfather. You were named rightly, I have to say.
Thank you very much, Tracy.
And thank you all so much for listening and being here with us today. And we'll see you next time.